slap him.
Why would you deliberately slash my tires? Towing the car wasn't enough?
Well, ma'am, we do sell tires here if you're interested. We currently have a free installation promotion if you buy...
Shut the fuck up. She shook her head. And get away from me. Right now.
He backed away from her with his hands raised in defeat. He pulled a tire sale flyer from his pocket and slipped it to me before disappearing.
I'm sorry about your car again. I waited for her to look at me. I didn't know that they...
Don't worry about it. I'll just remember not to park my car in the 9-to-5 only zone from now on.
Are you going to prevent me from calling a cab this time, too?
Why don't you drive my car home? I'll have yours taken to a body shop and have it back at corporate for you tomorrow.
What?
She looked confused.
You're offering to let me drive your...
She looked over at my car and shrugged.
What type of car is that?
I smiled. It's a Bugatti.
Right. And you're taking my car to a body shop?
What's the catch? You think doing that will make me go out with you?
No catch. I think you've suffered enough disappointment for one day. That's all.
She studied me for a minute, looking into my eyes as if she were contemplating my offer.
I don't want to feel like I owe you anything because of this.
I'll just call one of my friends to come get me. I'm sure
there's no catch, Claire. I'm just trying to be nice to you. Can you let me be nice to you?
She still looked unsure, but she nodded. Good. Park it in lot 8 tomorrow morning and leave the keys inside. I'll park yours in lot 9 and leave your keys with security. She grabbed a few things from her car and handed me the keys.
You're sure you're okay with letting me drive your car? Wouldn't it be easier for you to drive me home?
As much as I would like to take you home, Claire, I smiled, I'm sure you probably think that would be inappropriate.
She blushed. You're exactly right.
She slipped inside the driver's seat, locking her eyes on mine for a few seconds before finally driving off. I pulled out my phone. Greg?
Yes.
I'm at 3465 Jefferson Street. I need a tow truck and a town car.
And could you get Mr. Lane from parking security to call me within 5 minutes? I need to make an immediate change to the employee parking policy.
I watched my Bugatti ease onto the interstate ramp from afar and sighed. I've never let anyone drive that car.
Chapter 5. Claire. I woke up on my 40th birthday feeling no different than the day before. There was no aha moment, no feeling of dread, no sense of uneasiness, nothing. I rushed to the mirror to make sure Mother Nature hadn't decided to throw wrinkles and creases on my face all at once, to make sure she wasn't trying to play some cruel joke on me. She didn't, and she wasn't. I prepared for work like I always did, trying my best not to think about how sexy Jonathan Statham was, or about his sleek black Bugatti that was parked right outside. I slipped into my favorite white dress and matching blazer. I'd always admired how the ruffles flattered my curves and made my waist look 2 sizes smaller. I read the birthday cards my daughters left on the kitchen table and rejoiced at the fact that they'd bought a cake from the store instead of attempting to bake one. I was sure I would never get the chance to drive a Bugatti again, so I took the long way to work. I coasted through the residential neighborhoods, cruised past a few parks, and circled around corporate 5 times before pulling into the executive lot.
"Miss Grayson?" My assistant Rita met me as soon as I walked inside the doors. "Yes?" "First off, happy birthday. Second off, the Klein brothers specifically requested you to lead the ad project for their new eco-tablets. Should I tell them you'll be available to do that?"
"Yes, that's fine."
"Great." She scribbled a few things on her pad and struggled to keep up with my walking pace. "Mr. Barnes is out sick today. His wife called from the hospital. That leaves you to work with the beta script team this afternoon."
"Perfect.
Anything else?" I pushed the door to my office open. She and I both gasped. My office was filled with bouquets of calla lilies and roses, with white and pink balloons that completely covered my wall of windows.
"Wow. I'm not sure when all this got here. She scratched her head. Anyway, I need your notes on this year's proposed budget as soon as possible. And Mr. Statham booked a 30-minute meeting with you at 11 o'clock. What? What was that last thing you said? Mr. Statham wants to meet with you at 11 o'clock, in his office.
About what?
Is that all? No, she said. She pulled a small pink card off her clipboard. Happy birthday again, Miss Grayson. You're way better than the last director I worked for. I really mean that. Thank you, Rita. I moved a vase of lilies from my chair and flipped open the silver card that sat on top. Claire, I hope you're enjoying your birthday. I'm looking forward to spending part of it with you tonight. Your completely immoral and highly inappropriate boss. P.S., you've looked stunning every day this week. I was flattered, but I didn't have time to wonder about why he'd sent so many flowers, and I knew I wouldn't have time to meet with him. I had too much work to do. From 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, I made sure everyone in the department was on task and supervised the interns' brainstorming meeting. I even managed to spare a few extra minutes to get ahead on some of Mr. Barnes's past due assignments. From 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, I conferred with the art directors about S-Phone Blue visuals, sat in on a conference call with the National Marketing Committee, and started reading the proposed expense reports for our eco-tablet campaign. At 10:55, my phone rang. Claire Grayson. Who am I speaking with? Miss Grayson, this is Angela, Mr. Statham's secretary. I'm looking at his schedule, and I see that he requested a meeting with you today. Are you on your way up? I have 200 pages to read. No, Angela. I flipped over a sheet of paper. I am not. Could you please inform Mr. Statham that while I do accept last-minute appointments from clients, all internal personnel, even my own superiors, have to schedule their appointments at least 24 hours in advance. That's company policy as of 60 days ago. He's the one who sent out the memo, so he should know that. The line went silent. I was sure not too many people rejected a meeting with the CEO. She coughed. I will let him know that, Miss Grayson. Have a great day. You too, I hung up. I continued looking over the expense reports, making small notes here or there. I was halfway done when I heard a knock at my door. I don't want anything for lunch, Rita. Thank you, though. The door opened, and in walked Jonathan. He smiled as he shut the door. Good morning, Miss Grayson. Hello, Mr. Statham. My mouth went dry and my body tensed at the sight of him. He really was a pure example of what a perfect man should look like. He was dressed in an impeccable black suit, with a white button-down shirt and shiny silver cufflinks that gleamed against the light. His eyes were regarding me intensely, and I knew that he was slightly running his tongue across his lips on purpose. He sat down in the seat across from my desk and smiled even wider. How are you today? I'm quite fine. And yourself? Pretty good. You know, I don't normally get scolded by an employee, but it's refreshing to know that there are other policies that need to be changed. I didn't say anything. My heart was beating too fast, and I didn't want him to sense that I was completely captivated by him. Think about his age. Think about his age. He put his elbows on the desk and leaned forward. You couldn't spare 30 minutes for me? Take a deep breath, avert your gaze to the wall behind him, and clear your throat. Mr. Statham, you really don't have to call me that when we're alone. My breath hitched at the way he'd said, alone, and I took another deep breath. I feel more comfortable calling you that since this is, and will always be, a strictly professional relationship. And no, I could not spare 30 minutes. Our head director called in sick today, and since I have to handle his reports as well as my own, I don't have much free time. Fair enough, he said as he looked into my eyes. I just wanted to personally return your car keys. He placed them on my desk. And tell you happy birthday in person. Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate all the flowers. Your spiel only took 3 seconds, though, so there was no need for a 30-minute time slot. If you don't mind,
I need to finish my reading now. Have a great day, Mr. Statham. I looked back down at my work, hoping he would say, you too, and leave my office. But I sensed him standing up and walking over to me. I tried my best to act like he wasn't in the room, to stay focused on the document I was reading, but I felt him hovering right behind my shoulder. Claire. I slowly turned my head and looked up at him. Yes? He was silent. He reached down and ran his fingers through my hair, slowly and gently, making my heartbeat 10 times faster. He leaned in like he was going to kiss me, tilting my chin up so my lips could touch his, using his other hand to caress my neck. But then he suddenly stopped. He stepped back and sighed.
What time does your birthday party start tonight?
9. I could barely hear my own voice.
Well, I have a last-minute meeting tonight, so I might be really late. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Silence. I looked into his eyes and he looked back into mine. There was palpable tension in the air, and I wanted him to slice through it. I wanted him to step back over and kiss me until I was out of breath, to rip my clothes off and... His cell phone started to ring, breaking us out of the spell.
Hello?
He answered, keeping his eyes on me.
Yeah, by noon on Monday. Okay. Okay, I'll be right there.
He headed for the door.
I'll see you tonight.
Yes. I waited until the door closed and slipped out of my chair. I stood in front of the bathroom mirror at Havana and tugged at the end of my dress. It was a red haltered dress that ended near the middle of my thighs and accentuated my breasts, the type of dress I would prevent my daughters from wearing until they were 21. You don't think this makes it look like I'm trying too hard, Sans? I turned around and frowned at the low, deep cut in the back. This is a bit revealing.
Trying too hard to do what? You look good, Claire. If I had your legs, I would show them off all the time. Is your boss still coming?
I shook my head. I don't know. He said he had a late meeting.
Well, I hope he comes. I have to see the man that makes you blush. He does not make me blush.
Sandra pursed her lips and gave me her, whatever you say, look. It still shocked me that she'd never found someone to settle down with. She was pretty, had her own practice, and seemed to charm every man she met. Unlike me, she'd embraced her age, 41. And swore that she'd rather be 40 than 20 any day.
Are we going to stand in here all day, Claire? You know Helen can only sit by herself for so long.
Right. I looked myself over one last time and followed her back out into the lounge. We walked over to our reserved table, but Helen wasn't there. A man in a white tuxedo stepped in front of us.
Are you ladies a part of Claire Grayson's party?
Yes, I'm Claire Grayson, I said.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Miss Grayson. Come with me.
He smiled.
We're sorry we didn't upgrade your table as soon as you arrived. Please forgive us.
I shrugged my shoulders at Sandra and followed the man onto a glass elevator, up to the balcony level that overlooked the marble-stoned dance floor. He led us over to a luxurious VIP table in a corner, where Helen was downing a Cosmo and smiling. I told you two not to spend that much money for my birthday. I sat down, looking back and forth between her and Sandra.
Why would you...
You think either of us would spend thousands of dollars on a VIP table for one night?
Helen scoffed.
I think they mixed your name up with someone else's, but I'm going to drink as much as I can before they figure that out.
Me too. Sandra picked up a glass. Cheers to Claire for finally joining the 40 Club. The best club there is.
We clinked our glasses together and laughed. As we talked, the waiters continued refilling our glasses and bringing over trays of delicious hors d'oeuvres, insisting that we try out the exotic specials that were only available at the bar across the room. I kept asking them about the price of the drinks and the amount of the tab, hoping it wouldn't be too much at the end of the night. Yet, each time I asked, they would laugh and say, "Don't worry, it's been more than taken care of."
So, last week I had sex at the zoo.
Helen put down her drink.
I think I could have lived without that one. I'm not sure if being pounded right in front of the giraffe exhibit was as exciting as I thought it would be.
I spluttered my drink back into the glass. Could we not talk about your sex life for one day? Just one? Oh, Claire, honey, what's wrong? Are you still suffering from dick withdrawal syndrome? It's okay. It only lasts for as long as you let it last. Although you should know that you're currently in your sexual prime, seeing as though you haven't had sex since... God, I can't even think back that far, so... Okay, Helen, you've made your point, I sighed. Tell us the damn story. Gladly. I sat and listened as Helen went into detail, way into detail, about how she and some associate of hers had snuck into the zoo after hours and had sex on the bench right in front of the desert animals exhibit. I wasn't sure what part I should have been more appalled at, the fact that she actually had late-night sex in a zoo, or the fact that the animals walked over to the fence to watch. Oh, my God. Sandra's jaw dropped. Don't immediately look behind you. But the sexiest man I've ever seen just got off the elevator. He looks really important. I wonder if he's a celebrity. I noticed the women at the table behind us gasping and whispering, so I slowly turned around to see who they were talking about. Jonathan. He was nodding his head as the manager handed him a business card. He shook the man's hand as he looked towards our table. Our eyes met, and my heart sped up. My nerves were running uncontrollably, and my body felt like it was on fire. I turned back towards Sandra. That's him, I whispered. Him who? Good evening, Claire. Jonathan was at my side seconds later. Good evening, Jonathan. I swallowed and felt myself blushing. This is Sandra, and this is Helen. Good evening, ladies. He smiled. Good evening. They both practically swooned. Am I the only guy here? He looked down at me. Yes. Okay. I'll be right back. He walked over to the bar, and once he was out of earshot, Sandra slapped my shoulder. That's your boss? Your description didn't do him justice at all. Screw the age thing, Claire. He's sexy as hell. Is he single? Helen eyed him. He's taken, Sandra wagged her finger. Claire's dating him. I'm not dating him. Well, about time. Welcome to Cougar Town, Helen laughed and took a long swig of her drink. On any other night, I would have replied to her silly little remark. But it was my birthday, and I didn't feel like letting her get to me. Besides, I wasn't a real cougar. She was. She hardly ever dated anyone her own age. The oldest boyfriend she'd ever had was 12 years younger than her, when she was 35. Screw you, Helen, Sandra rolled her eyes. You better not say anything ridiculous when he gets back over here. Helen made a Scout's Honor symbol with her fingers, and as if on cue, Jonathan walked back over to the table with a tray of exotic drinks. Cheers to the birthday girl? He smiled. We all nodded and tossed back a shot. He slid into the chair next to me and placed his hand on my thigh. I immediately felt myself getting hot, so I brushed his hand away and crossed my legs. Why did I let Sandra talk me into going commando tonight? So, Jonathan, Helen purred, what exactly do you do for a living? She knows the answer to this already. Why is she asking him that? Jonathan put his hand back on my thigh. I'm the CEO of Statham Industries. And yourself? Interesting. I'm a lawyer at my own law firm, Donovan and Fitz. It's actually 1 mile away from your company. How did you become the CEO at such a young age? I started the company when I was still in college. It was just a side thing at first, charging people 20 or 30 bucks here or there to install all types of systems on their phones or laptops. But then I realized that I could build phones and computers from scratch, that I could do a much better job than some of the bigger computer companies. So, my professor helped me to write up a business plan, and I showed off the best products I'd developed. Then I got a few investors and professors on board with the condition that I would be the CEO and the company's namesake. I made a profit the very first year, and the rest is history. Wow. Very impressive, Helen nodded. It must be a pretty hectic life. What do you do in your free time, and why aren't you married already?
I'm sure someone like you has lots of beautiful options to choose from.
What the hell is she doing?
I was glaring at her, silently begging her to stop making him uncomfortable, but he didn't look the slightest bit bothered by her insane questioning. He looked calm and in control. He began strumming my thigh with his fingertips. I work out, travel, and collect yachts in my spare time.
Did he just say yachts, as in plural?
And the reason you're not married yet is because... are you too rich to be tied down? Having too much fun sleeping with a different woman every night?
God, please strike her down now.
Sandra was giving Helen the most evil side glare in history. It looked like she was about to claw her eyes out. No, he smiled. That's definitely not it. I guess I haven't found the right woman yet.
Okay, I'm going to the bar to get a stronger drink. Sandra shook her head.
I'll get it for you. Jonathan released my thigh and stood up. A stronger version of what you had before? Sandra nodded. Helen, you too?
Yes,
she batted her eyes. Claire?
He smiled his dreamy smile and I lost my words.
I shook my head and he walked away.
Helen, what the hell do you think you're doing?
Sandra fumed.
I told you not to.
Calm down, calm down. Helen snorted. I was just having fun. He's clearly into Claire. He's been eye-fucking her all night.
Helen!
I shook my head.
Don't Helen me.
It's the truth.
He's eye-fucking you right now from all the way over there.
And you've been doing it too, so get over yourself. You two should just get it over with. The private bathrooms here are really nice. Hint, hint. I burst into laughter. I should have known Helen was only toying with him. She too often took pleasure in testing the threshold of people's nerves. Jonathan walked back over and set down more drinks. Golden paradise for you, Sandra. He slid it across the table. Triple chocolate cloud for you, Helen. And for you. He said as he reached for my hand. Would you like to dance with me?
Sure. I slid out of my chair and clasped his hand. He led me down two sets of stone-carved steps to the front of the stage where an orchestra was beginning to play.
He placed my hands around his neck and wrapped his arms around my waist, swaying me to a song I'd never heard before. We were so close to one another that I was breathing in his scent, a heavenly, spicy smell that enveloped me and made me never want to let go of him.
How was your day today, Claire?
Good. Yours?
Awful.
He pulled me even closer.
Until now.
I really should have worn panties. You know, I could have sworn that my car didn't have customized leather seats and tinted windows when I gave it to you the other day.
It didn't?
He smiled. No. Thank you very much, though. And I appreciate the table upgrade, too.
You're very welcome.
The lights on the dance floor suddenly went black, and small twinkling lights began to shimmer from above.
"Ladies and gentlemen, it's officially midnight," the maestro spoke. "For those of you who are new to Havana, the next 10 minutes on the dance floor will be spent underneath the stars."
The lights transformed from black to dark purple, to mystic blue, and then back to black, as the orchestra began to play a mid-tempo version of Nora Jones's The Nearness of You.
"You look amazing tonight."
Jonathan rubbed the small of my back. I could only nod my head in thanks. That one brush of his fingertips had nearly melted me into the floor. We continued dancing in silence, and I noticed that the lights were dimming darker and darker. The twinkling stars that were once so bright were flickering fainter and fainter. As he held me close, I couldn't help but feel a bit insecure. I knew Helen had only been joking earlier, but she had a point. Someone like Jonathan could definitely have any woman he wanted. A busty blonde Swedish supermodel. A sexy high-profile actress. Anyone. Anyone more established, and probably much younger than me.
Do you normally wear dresses like this when you go out?
He tugged at the back of my dress. Why?
I'm just wondering.
Wondering why someone my age would wear something so revealing? Is that what you thought when you first saw me tonight? You don't have to beat around the bush.
I rolled my eyes. He sighed. Are you really that hung up on your age?
Unfortunately, yes.
No, I looked up at him. I just find it a bit odd that you aren't. I'm not sure what to make of it yet. And the fact that you just asked me about my dress makes me think,
do you want to know what I was thinking when I first saw you tonight, Claire?
Yes.
You want an honest answer or a politically correct one?
Honest.
Okay.
He released me from his arms and stepped away. Before I could wonder where he'd gone, I felt my back pressed against his chest and his hands wrapped around my hips. When I first saw you tonight, he lowered his voice and whispered in my ear, I wanted to drag you out of here, drive you home, and fuck you in every room of my house for the rest of the weekend. I gasped. The only reason I asked about your dress is because it looks good on you. Very, very good on you. And if we were to date, I would hope to see more like it.
He hugged me tighter. So, can you please stop reminding me about the age thing? I honestly wouldn't give a damn if you were 60.
I nodded and tried to turn back around to face him, but he wouldn't release me. He started caressing my thighs.
Can you promise me you'll drop the age thing?
Yes.
Good, because it doesn't matter to me.
He swayed me to the music and began planting kisses along my bare shoulders. Every kiss sent a tremor down my spine, a new fluttering butterfly against my stomach.
Are you still free tomorrow?
He whispered. I didn't answer him. It had been so long since someone affected me like this, and I didn't want his barrage of kisses to stop.
Claire?
He kissed the back of my neck and slid a hand underneath my dress. He must have realized I wasn't wearing any panties, because his hand stilled right where the lace band should have been. He kissed my neck again and slowly slid his fingers down lower. I could feel the dampness between my thighs, and I heard him fail to stifle a groan. I'm never going commando around him again.
Answer me, Claire.
He pushed one finger inside of me and torturously moved it in and out. Say yes. You are still free tomorrow. He pushed two fingers inside of me, holding my body completely still with his other arm. He kept his punishing rhythm at a steady pace, kissing my bare shoulders and whispering my name, waiting for an answer.
This is our last midnight song, ladies and gentlemen, the maestro said, as the horns began to play. After this, we will be switching back to our in-house DJ and turning on the lights.
Jonathan slowly pulled his fingers out of me. I thought we were going to dance to the final midnight song, but he began using his thumb to massage my clit. Then he pushed his two skilled fingers in and out of me again. Oh my God, his pressure was perfect. His rhythm was relentless. I was sure I was going to explode in any second if he didn't stop. Mr. Stafe,
Jonathan.
He kissed my shoulder. I, my breath caught in my throat. Stop.
Not until you answer my question.
He slipped his other hand underneath my dress, and once again stalled when he realized I wasn't wearing a bra. He cupped each of my breasts, softly pinching my nipples, pushing me further to the edge. I said yes.
The song is going to go off any second, Claire, but I'll hold you right here, just like this, with the lights on, until you answer me.
He was rubbing my clit even harder, faster, and I felt intense tremors building inside of me. Yes, I bit my lip to prevent myself from crying out. I didn't want any of the other people around us to know what was going on.
30 seconds until we speed things up again, the maestro's voice was muffled.
Yes, what?
He continued his rhythm, continued caressing my breasts, and I couldn't hold back anymore. I exploded in waves around him, shuddering and convulsing, biting down on my lip so hard it was probably bleeding. My knees nearly gave out, and it took every bit of energy I had to not collapse into his arms. Yes, I'm free to go out tomorrow.
Good.
He withdrew his fingers and spun me around. He pulled the bottom of my dress down and grabbed my hand, leading me past the stage. He led me into a private restroom and locked the door. Helen was right. They were nice. Too nice. There was a wall-length antique mirror that covered the entire left wall, a rustic chandelier with glimmering emeralds, and a sofa and chaise covered in plush red velvet. If Jonathan had been any other man, I would have immediately started berating him for what he did to me on the dance floor. I would have said it was rude and offensive, and that I would never speak to him again. But he wasn't any other guy, and I couldn't deny that I loved every second of it. I was still entranced. He took a white cloth from over the sink and ran warm water over it for several seconds. He pulled me over into a corner and slid my dress up past my hips. "Spread your legs," he whispered. I slid my legs apart and looked into his eyes as he gently wiped the inside of my thighs. He moved his way up in a slow, sensuous motion that nearly sent me over the edge again. I tried coming down from the intense high I was feeling, but the look he was giving me was preventing that from happening. He grabbed another cloth, a dry cloth, and caressed me with it until I was completely dry. We kept looking into each other's eyes, and I thought he was going to say something, or kiss me, but he simply smiled and reached for my hand. "Are you ready to rejoin your friends now?" I nodded. He gave my hand a slight squeeze and walked me back upstairs to our table. As soon as we arrived, he offered to take another drink order for Helen and Sandra.
"So," Sandra smiled, "is your boss a good dancer?"
"He's very good." I picked up my mojito and chugged it. She raised her eyebrow, but she didn't say anything further. She and Helen filled me in on two men they'd met during the midnight dance, but I was only halfway listening. I was still hypnotized by Jonathan's touch, and honestly wished that it hadn't ended so soon. When he finally returned to the table, he talked to us as if we'd all known each other for a long time. Much to my surprise and disappointment, he didn't touch me again. Jonathan put his jacket over my shoulders.
"Where'd you park? I'll walk you to your car."
"The east lot."
"Okay."
He clasped my hand and we walked over in silence. He helped me into my car, and before I could drive off, he tapped the window.
"You never told me where you wanted to meet me tomorrow,"
he smiled.
"Did you forget already?"
"Oh, no, I just... how about doing an early run with a great view of the city? Around 8?
"That sounds great. Where?"
"Corona Heights Park?"
"I'll see you there."
He pulled a small box from his back pocket and handed it to me.
"Happy birthday again, Claire."
"Thank you." I tried not to blush as I rolled my window up. As soon as I pulled in front of my house, I opened the box and peeled the thin layer of tissue paper away. There was a note.
"To the most beautiful woman I've ever met. Give me a chance to show you how great we could be together. Jonathan."
I rolled my eyes and pulled out what was underneath, a diamond lattice bracelet that looked like it cost more than my house. I latched it onto my wrist and watched it sparkle against the darkness, wondering when I would ever wear something like this out in public. I wasn't sure whether I should keep it or not, but I knew I would give it back if I chose not to date him for the long term. I looked down at the box again and noticed that there was a tightly folded piece of paper at the very bottom. I used my nails to pry it out and unfolded it, a page from the Statham Industries Employee Handbook. Highlighted in yellow were the words, "Revised as of January 2013. The No Fraternization Clause is hereby terminated. Interpersonal relationships between employees are no longer a violation of company policy." I woke up at 6 in the morning, practically dragging Ashley and Caroline from their beds. No matter how many times I suggested that they go to bed early on nights that they had work in the morning, they never listened. "Do you have your ID badges? You know I'm not driving out there to bring them if you don't."
"Yeah, yeah,"
they both groaned as they zombie walked down the steps. I watched them take their time getting ready for work, ironing their white polo shirts and khakis, reshining their leather flats, and arguing about whose turn it was to drive. "Ashley, I'm pretty sure it's your turn.
I sighed after watching them conduct yet another coin toss. Please drive safely and stay together, Caroline groaned. We're 16, not 6, Mom. See you later. Have a great day at work. I shooed them out of the house and waited until their car coasted down the hill. I rushed upstairs to my bathroom and changed into my most flattering workout outfit. A black and pink cotton pantsuit that clung to my curves and matching black tennis shoes. Claire Grayson, this is not a date. It's just an outing. A regular outing. I looked at myself in the mirror. Do not show any signs of attraction. Do not agree to any dates past today. This is only because he made you come on the dance floor last night and you lost control. That's the only reason you're going to this thing. After today, this goes back to being a strictly professional relationship. I headed outside and revved up my car, cutting through the city streets to make it to the edge of the park. I drove through the lot and spotted a beautiful silver Jaguar that I assumed was Jonathan's. How many ridiculously expensive cars does he own? Good morning. He stepped out of the car and smiled at me. How are you feeling today? Great. You? Perfect. Do you want to walk or run through the trail?
I want to run.
All 5 miles? He tossed a jacket into his car. Are you sure? Are you not in shape? Would you prefer if we drove through the trail instead? He laughed. I'm in excellent shape, Claire. I was just making sure you have the stamina to keep up with me. He gave me a wicked grin and I immediately turned away and started running. He was at my side within seconds, and together we sprinted through the clay trail, weaving through the clove of trees. We kept pace with one another, never stopping to catch a breath. Every now and then I could feel him looking over at me, maybe even smiling at me. But I was too focused on making it to the end of the trail to return his gazes. Running had a way of calming my nerves, making me feel at peace, and I couldn't focus on much else when my feet were hitting the pavement. Once I crossed the 5-mile marker, I stopped and held my knees. I heard Jonathan slightly panting next to me. Most women I know can't run 1 mile without stopping, let alone 5. He sounded impressed. Have you always been a runner? Hell no. I sank down to the ground and stretched my legs. I used to hate running. I've only been doing it for the past 4 years. How long have you been running? All my life. He slid his shirt over his head, revealing a sweaty set of washboard abs. He sat down next to me. It's one of the few things I'm very good at. There seemed to be a double meaning behind his words, and a part of me wanted to ask him to explain it, but I remembered the speech I'd given myself earlier. I didn't need to pry into his personal life, because I didn't want to give him the wrong impression. I cleared my throat. Oh, well, that sounds very... How old are your daughters, Claire, if you don't mind me asking? 16? They're twins? He raised his eyebrow. Are they identical? I nodded. Yeah. I couldn't really tell them apart until they were 3. That's when they started developing their own little personalities and... Whoa, overshare. Stick to basic information. You plan on ever finishing that sentence? He smiled. I didn't respond. Between the beads of sweat that were trickling down his sculpted chest, his gorgeous eyes, and that, I know damn well you want me, smile, I was trapped. I slowly stood up and dusted the dirt off the back of my pants. We should probably head back now. I think we should run again. So you won't have to talk to me? Yes. No, that's not it. I'm sure you have a million other things you could be doing right now, so... Not at all. I cleared my whole morning for you. Damn it. That was... I looked away from him. That was very nice of you. But I only have time for a run, so... Claire, you told me you were free last night, and I'm pretty sure nothing has changed between 2 a.m. and now. You and I are on a date, which means that since we're not getting lunch or dinner, we're going to walk back together. Then our miserable date that I apparently forced you to come on will end, and you can pretend like you actually have some work to do. I tried not to smile, but I couldn't help it. As long as we're done by noon, I do have some things I have to do today. Like what? I have to sort through some more S-Phone Blue ideas for the upcoming campaign.
Mr. Barnes wants us to pick a favorite by Monday, and that's going to take a miracle.
Speaking of which, why do you hate your job?
Telling the CEO why I hate my job? I don't think so.
I won't take it personal.
He motioned for me to start walking beside him.
I really want to know.
No, you don't. I laughed.
Tell me.
I sighed. In a nutshell, the employee benefits suck. Cars should never be towed off the lot. Directors should be allowed at least 15 hours overtime a month, and working 2 years just to be eligible for 1 week of vacation? That's ridiculous. Oh, and what's the point in offering free coffee if there's hardly ever any? And when there is, it tastes like shit? Just don't offer any and save your money. And don't get me started on that motivational idiot who made us put beanbags in our offices and gave us Zen journals. I could have given you a much better way to spend $2 million. Jonathan stopped walking and looked down at me, right into my eyes. He was quiet for a long time, and then he burst into laughter.
Are you always this blunt?
You asked for the truth.
I think I've learned my lesson.
He smiled and started walking again. I thought he would ask me more questions, or that I would feel compelled to ask him a few to make our walk easier. But I was actually enjoying the silence. I had the feeling that he was, too. Before I knew it, I could see the parking lot in the distance and the quarter-mile marker straight ahead. Jonathan followed me over to my car, and before I could pull the door open, he gently grabbed me by my shoulders and turned me around. He looked into my eyes again.
I know we didn't talk much, but I had a great time today, Claire.
Me too. Silence. I felt his fingers running through my damp hair, his hard chest pressed against mine. My heart was beating an entirely new rhythm, and no matter how hard I tried to control it, it only beat wilder and faster.
I'm going to be in New York for a conference this week.
He readjusted my sweatband.
Can I take you out to dinner when I get back on Saturday?
No. No, you don't want whatever he thinks this is to go any further. This does not need to turn into an every weekend thing. This is not happening. Turn away from him and... He raised his eyebrow.
Claire?
I nodded.
I need you to say it out loud.
He pushed my body against the car. Silence. He smiled.
What? No smart-mouthed comments about dinner on Saturday?
I think we should go Dutch. I don't want you getting the wrong impression.
And what impression would that be?
That I'm attracted to you. Because that still hasn't changed.
You're right.
He slipped his arms around my waist.
I wouldn't dare think that. Is that a yes to Saturday?
It's a maybe. I heard him laugh, and then I felt his lips brush against mine. Softly, gently, as if he didn't want to completely kiss me. He slowly released me and stepped back.
I'll call you while I'm in New York. We're going to make sure that maybe becomes a yes.
Chapter 6. Jonathan. Why did I ever agree to come to this conference? I sat in the front row of the Four Seasons ballroom and sighed as other software techies talked about their rise to fame and how they'd built their empires from the ground up. Normally, this type of thing would excite and inspire me, but all the techies this year were people I'd worked with before. I knew their success stories like the back of my hand. The only thing different was the fact that I was the keynote speaker, and thousands of high school students were invited to come watch. As the CEO of Apple Inc. finished his speech, I clapped and made sure my speech was still in my breast pocket. "And now," the conference host said as he walked on stage, "for the final speech of the night, ladies and gentlemen, I am honored to introduce our keynote speaker. Over the past 9 years, he has become a force to be reckoned with in the software industry, breaking almost every sales record when it comes to the latest technology. His latest product, the S-Phone Blue, is due to debut this spring and has already earned $50 million in pre-order sales." The audience clapped, and my face appeared on the massive projector screens that flanked the stage. "Ladies and gentlemen," the host continued, "a man who needs no further introduction, CEO of Statham Industries, Mr. Jonathan Statham."
I stood up and made my way onto the stage, nodding at the standing ovation, waiting for the crowd to sit back down. "Thank you all very much for inviting me to the annual Innovative Technology Conference," I pulled my speech out of my pocket. "It's an honor to be here, and I'll do my best not to bore you for the next 20 minutes." The audience laughed. I read my speech off with ease, making eye contact with the people I knew in the crowd. Bracing myself for the worst part of being the keynote speaker, the extensive Q&A session. For 3 hours, I answered questions that had nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with Statham Industries. "Are you single? What do you look for in a woman? How often do you work out? When do you plan on getting married?" What's worse was that my colleagues were playing along with the students and acting like these questions were completely normal. They even asked me a few questions about women and dating themselves. When the Q&A session was finally over, I attended a smaller meeting with the top students in the country. Gratefully, I engaged in conversations that were solely about computer development. It was 10 o'clock by the time I finished, and I made a conscious effort to disappear for the rest of the night. I rode the elevator to the penthouse suite and headed straight to my bed, walking past the custom living room and double kitchens. I took off my jacket and turned on the light. "Took you long enough," my friend Stacy rolled off the bed wearing a silky piece of black lingerie. "I was beginning to think you weren't coming." I completely forgot about this. Stacy was an international supermodel who I'd met earlier in my career. Back then, she was only doing local magazines and commercials, but I took a huge risk and made her the national spokesperson for my company's first laptop. The campaign was an overnight success, launching her into superstardom. We tried to do the relationship thing soon after, but we realized that we were better off as friends, with benefits. "I've got strawberry, piña colada, wild berry, and spicy cinnamon. I personally prefer the wild berry lube because it's a lot smoother and doesn't leave a weird aftertaste. But I figured I'd let you pick this time." "Oh, and guess what I also brought?" She pulled a silver packet from her bra. "Ultra-ribbed, for his and her pleasure. Sexy, right?" I collapsed into a chair and laughed. "Sounds great, but I don't feel like it tonight."
"Excuse me? You don't feel like it tonight? This is the third time you've been in New York, and you're turning me down again?"
"If my memory serves me correctly, you turned me down the other 2 times.
"Those don't count. We were drunk, and I don't do smashed sex."
She walked over to me and pretended to check my forehead for a fever.
"Wait a minute. Are you and Andre back together?"
"No."
"Okay. Did you recently come out of the closet or something? Are you gay?"
"Excuse me?"
"Oh my God, it makes perfect sense. All these years. That's the real reason you dumped Audrey, isn't it? And the fact that I'm standing here half naked and you're not even hard makes it even clearer. So, who's the lucky guy?"
She started putting her clothes back on. "Stacy, I'm far from gay. Trust me. I just don't feel like it."
"Mm-hmm."
She crossed her arms and pursed her lips.
"Then what's her name?"
"Her who?" She rolled her eyes and pulled me out of my chair.
"If we're not going to do anything, the least you can do is buy me a round, a real round, and tell me who ruined my chance at good sex for tonight."
I followed her onto the elevator, up to the rooftop bar, and ordered us a few glasses of stiff drinks. Any other night, she and I would be back in my hotel suite, having sex on every single surface, filling each other in on the random things that had happened in our lives. We would be laughing at the things we didn't understand about each other's careers. I never understood why the fashion industry took itself so seriously, and she could never comprehend the excitement behind innovative technology. But tonight, when I saw her standing half naked in my bedroom, the only thing I could think about was Claire and her smart-ass mouth.
"You ever date a younger guy, Stacy?"
I spooned a lemon slice from my vodka.
"Yeah, twice."
"What happened?"
"The first guy was 21 when I was 26, and the second guy was 23 when I was 28. That's what happened."
"How old is she?"
"She just turned 40 this past Friday."
"Wow.
Wow, what?
Nothing. I just... wow. I actually think the whole older woman, younger guy thing is kind of hot.
Since she's older, maybe she'll help you out with some of your bedroom techniques. I've never gotten any complaints.
It was a joke, Jonathan.
She rolled her eyes. Anyway, why do you care about her age?
I don't. She does.
Stacy nodded. That's understandable.
Well, just show her that it doesn't matter. I mean, it's just sex, right?
I'm sure when you two are going at it, your age is the last thing on her mind, so we haven't had sex.
What?
She clutched her chest.
Jonathan Statham has detailed a woman's car, given her thousands of dollars in flowers and jewelry, been out with her twice, and hasn't had sex with her? Who are you?
First off, I'm not that insatiable. Second off, I do want to have sex with her, but why am I even discussing this with you?
You like her, don't you?
I sighed. I didn't want to continue this conversation.
How does it feel to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated for the second year in a row?
I like the red bikini on you. It was different.
You should call her tonight. You don't have to do the whole wait a week thing with an older woman. She'll just write you off as,
I am going to call her tonight.
Damn, it's even worse than I thought, she laughed. Good for you, though. Anyway, it's time for more drinks. I need at least 7 more.
Whatever you say.
It took a lot more than 7 for her to feel satisfied, and since she passed out in the middle of drinking one, I had to carry her down to her room. Once I tucked her into bed and made sure that she could sleep without throwing up, I walked back up to my suite and called Claire.
Hello?
She picked up on the third ring.
Hello, Claire.
Hi.
She sounded surprised.
How's your conference going?
I wouldn't know. I haven't been paying attention. How are things back at corporate?
Pretty great. There was a memo from the CEO today about the parking zones being permanently terminated. Everyone here is pretty excited since he's finally pulled his head out of his ass.
I laughed. Do you practice insulting people, or are you naturally good at it?
I practice 5 hours a day.
Time very well spent. About dinner this Saturday night.
What about it?
What do I have to do to get you to say yes?
She sighed. Agree to let me pay for my own dinner?
And why would I do that?
Because it sets boundaries between us, and it won't feel like a date.
It is a date.
Well, it shouldn't be. I know you changed the company policy on dating, but us hanging out outside of the office is wrong, regardless of if you think so or not.
So you want me to fire you?
What? No. I don't want you to...
Because I will, if that's what it takes.
She sighed. Will you just let me pay for my own dinner?
No.
Sure, Claire. I can let you do that. I made us a reservation at Michael Mina for 8 o'clock. Am I allowed to come pick you up, or is that out of the question as well?
I'll meet you there. I know where that is.
Of course.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Have you come across any good campaign ideas yet?
Yeah.
There was a rustling of papers in the background. Roses are red. S-phones are blue. I'm going to buy one, and so should you.
Please tell me you're joking.
No, that was a real idea. It's about to find a home at the bottom of my trash can.
Great decision.
She cleared her throat.
So, I take it that your conference is about...
I don't want to talk about work, Claire. And I'm sure you don't either. Let's talk about you.
She was quiet for a few seconds.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Tell me what you like to do in your free time.
For hours, I listened to her talk about her favorite hobbies, dissecting interior design magazines, studying bridge architecture, running and reading books. It was quite refreshing to talk to someone whose point of reference didn't revolve around celebrity culture or the latest reality TV show. While she was in the middle of explaining her dreams of running a marathon, I heard her yawn and looked at my watch. 5 o'clock.
I guess we should call it a night.
I didn't realize it was getting so late. I lay back on my bed. You know, you can call me whenever I cross your mind, too.
Well, if that ever happens, I'll do that. Goodbye, Jonathan.
Goodbye, Claire. I knew she wasn't going to call me, so for the rest of the week I called her when I was done with all my meetings. I kept things simple and steered clear of asking any personal questions. I had the feeling she wouldn't be too receptive to that. When my plane landed back in San Francisco on Saturday afternoon, I sent her a text. Michael Mina's at 8 o'clock, 252 California Street, just in case you don't know where that is. See you there.
Wait a minute, Corey said, laughing. What do you mean she stood you up?
I don't think there's any other way to say it. She stood me up. I rolled my eyes.
I thought you said she seemed mature.
She is. She's just...
This doesn't make any sense.
Welp. Oh, well. Do you want to go over the Sorrento account today? Their camera software is worth investing in, and we could use the upgrade. Later, I sighed, I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
Bottom of what?
Bottom of, do you know you're talking about a woman who has A, told you you're way too young for her, B, admitted that she has two 16-year-old daughters, daughters, plural, and C, stood you up last night. Do you realize any of that?
I shook my head. It doesn't make any sense. We talked all week. She didn't call or text me to let me know she wasn't coming.
I think she's trying to show you that she's not interested in you. She probably thought standing you up would help you see that, since you keep ignoring what she says.
I didn't believe that. I'd felt how she reacted to me on the dance floor on her birthday, seen the way she looked at me when we were out running, and heard the way her voice hitched whenever I called her on the phone. I could admit that she was good at playing nonchalant and being a smart mouth, and she definitely mastered the poker face, but she wasn't pretending to act like she was affected by me. Whenever you want to focus on what's really important, i.e. this Sorrento account, feel free to call me back, Corey hung up.
Sir, my driver pulled over and turned his head around, they're not allowing cars to go any further.
Thanks, Greg. I stepped out of the car, and I looked at all the activity that was surrounding the Oasis Drug and Alcohol Rehabilitation Center. There were the usual yellow and blue balloons, the white-coated doctors greeting guests from the doors, and the Purity Waterfall, which stood out front spewing red-colored water. My mom had told me the red signified something, but I forgot what it was. I'd spent yet another $50,000 for her to get treatment for her drug addiction, and I had a feeling it wouldn't be the last time. I walked inside and took a seat near the back of the auditorium, watching the same exact ceremony I'd seen 11 months ago. I watched my mom smile as she took the completion certificate from the head doctor on stage, watched her recite the "Today Begins My New Life" poem, and watched her eyes light up with the same self-promises she'd made several times before. At one point, the head doctor asked the audience to stand and recite the supporters' pledge. But as I mouthed the familiar words, an image of Claire ran across my mind. I wanted to know why the hell she'd stood me up, why the hell she didn't even think to call and cancel. I thought about calling to ask her why, but I decided against it. I wasn't the call-and-ask type. All of a sudden, I heard the reformed patients singing the final "Now My Life Begins" song, and realized the ceremony was over. Thank you so much for coming, sweetheart. My mom rushed over and gave me a hug. I think this was it. I think I finally get it now.
I hugged her back. I hope so.
No, Audrey. Where's your girlfriend?
We broke up a long time ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're not dating anyone else?
No. Even if I was, I wouldn't have told her. I didn't need to open up to her right away, and I didn't want to pretend like she was a real part of my life.
She looked saddened. Well, whenever that day comes, can I meet her?
Never.
Sure. I meant what I said about changing, Jonathan. I want us to meet up at least once a week. I need you to help me stay on track for a while.
Good idea. I tried to sound convinced. Let's get lunch before we get you into your new condo. I bought you one with 2 levels, just like you asked.
January 19th, 2013. Dear Journal, today I